Hello, my name is Daniel Mesa. I'm with RevelationWithDaniel.com, and today we talk about the pre-existence of Christ. So Proverbs 8 is a chapter in the Bible that's used by many to show that the Son of God, or Christ, was brought forth from the Father before anything was created. From the period of dateless ages that Christ was brought forth, there has never been a time since then when he was not in close fellowship or relationship with his Father. So 1 Corinthians 1, 24 and 30 pair up pretty well with Proverbs chapter 8. And they are used to show that Christ, by the Father, was made unto us wisdom. First we'll read Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 30. Notice it says, "The Lord possessed me," that would be wisdom in the context, "in the beginning of his way," that would be the Father's way, "before his works of old." Remember, God created all things through Christ. Verse 23. "I," wisdom, "was set up from everlasting, from the beginning," or ever the earth was, "when there were no depths, I," wisdom, "was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea his decree, that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I, wisdom, was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." And so putting together that scripture, along with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 24 and 30, notice what happens. "Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And then in verse 30, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So we can see the wisdom that's spoken of in Proverbs chapter 8 has been applied by Paul, a prophet in the New Testament, to Christ. Christ is wisdom. Wisdom was brought forth. Wisdom was brought up as one that was with the Father. So notice in Malachi chapter 2 that there is one God who created us. As I said earlier, Ephesians 3 verse 9 says that it was God the Father who created through his Son, Jesus Christ. We can also see, and we will see, Hebrews 1 verse 2. Knowing that one God created through his Son, we can now understand Proverbs 30 verse 4 also enough to answer the question, what is his Son's name? Notice what the Bible says. Malachi 2 verse 10. "Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us?" Good question, but how did he create us? Notice what it says in 3 verse 9. "God, who created all things by Jesus Christ," which is his Son. Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So Proverbs 30, verse 4 through 6, as I had mentioned earlier, says, "Who hath ascended up into the heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment?" Notice what it says now. "Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his Son's name, if thou canst tell?" Verse 5 says, "Every word," there's a hint there, "of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." You know, many of us today are saying that Jesus Christ is not really the Son of God. It's a metaphor. Well, according to the Bible, who is it that established the earth? What is his Son's name, if you can tell? Who is this one God that created all things by his Son? It's the Father, it's the Son, and it's not metaphorical. It's a real deal. So did the faithful Hebrews in Daniel chapter 3 know about God having a Son? so as to educate Nebuchadnezzar the king about that fact? Notice what it says in Daniel 3:25. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men." Remember, they had only thrown in three. "I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." So my question would be, how did Nebuchadnezzar know that God has a son, except that the faithful Hebrews who knew the scriptures was able to tell him such details? I think that's fascinating. So according to John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we know that God the Father created all things through his Son. We already read that in Hebrews 1 and also Ephesians 3. But therefore the Son must have existed before anything was created, because all things were created by the Father through the Son. So including angels, grass, birds, stars, everything, right? So John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." As we read further in that chapter, John chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. It was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me." Why? "For he was before me." And that's an interesting fact, because the Bible teaches that John was born 6 months before Jesus, but John testified that Jesus was before him. And we know that John was able to see further into the divine existence of the Son of God before he became the Son of Man. So there was the Son of God, and there was the Son of Man. So notice, right here we're going to learn a little bit more about the Son of God being given by the Father to become the Son of Man. Notice John 3:16 reveals that Jesus Christ was given as the only begotten Son, not to become an only begotten Son. We'll also see that idea in Isaiah 9, verse 6. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So according to the Bible, God had an only begotten Son to give. We see the same thing in Isaiah 9, verse 6. "Unto us a child is born." That would be the child born of Mary. "And unto us a son is given." That would be the Son of God being given to be born of Mary. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God," not the Almighty God, a very big difference, "the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so Jesus, according to this verse, has several names, one of which is the Mighty God. I have a message online, and I will be presenting it again, where it talks about the word Almighty. Every single time the word Almighty is used in the Bible, it is always referring to God the Father. So here the Mighty God is not the Almighty God. Now, it is referred to here in this section as Jesus being the Everlasting Father. Well, sure, he is a father to us because he created us. Now, he cannot be a father to his Father. That would be a little strange. The Father has a Son, and the Father created all things by his Son. And everything created by the Son, he could claim to be the Father of. And so in this sense, Jesus Christ is our Father. Now, Jesus is also the only mediator between God and men. We'll see that in a minute in 1 Timothy 2:5. How could he have not existed if he was mediating during the time of the Old Testament, after Adam's fall, before the incarnation? I think that's a good question, but notice what it's saying here. 1 Timothy 2:5. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between that one God and men on this earth." Who is it? It's the man, Christ Jesus. Notice it doesn't say it's the Son of God. It's the man, Christ Jesus. And the reason being is, Christ was given judgment because he was the Son of Man, according to John chapter 5. Now, Genesis 28 verse 12 says something pretty interesting about this dream that was given to Joseph as he was laying on the earth with a stone for a pillow. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. So one part of the ladder was on the earth. And the top of it, the ladder, reached to heaven. So it's connecting the earth to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon that ladder. Well, later in John chapter 1, Jesus actually applies this ladder scenario to himself. Notice what it says. And he said unto him, Verily I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and just like in Genesis 28, the angels of God ascending and descending upon not a ladder, but upon the Son of Man. So here Jesus interpreted that vision that was given to Joseph, not the angels being symbolic, but the ladder being symbolic. The ladder being symbolic of Jesus Christ, and upon Jesus Christ, angels were ascending and descending. We're going to be talking more about the angels in the future, but that's just a little taste for you to start thinking about. So now consider John 17 verse 5 relating to the pre-existence of Christ. As denying Christ's pre-existence would deny his divine origin before being brought forth from this earthly mother named Mary. Notice what the Bible teaches. John 17 verse 5. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So the Son here in prayer is saying to his Father that he wants to have the same glory that he had before the world even existed. That means that he had a glory with the Father before the earth was here. Therefore, he pre-existed the earth. Of course, the earth was created and all things were created through the Son, so it would necessitate logically and biblically that Jesus Christ pre-existed the earth and the angels, all the stars, everything. Jesus Christ created all things. Jesus is not created. Jesus is begotten of his Father, or brought forth of his Father. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6 says that the first begotten was brought into the world, meaning there was a first begotten to be brought into the world. Also, with God giving a command of the angels to worship the begotten, if he were not divine before being brought forth from Mary, God would have commanded the angels to worship a human. So we must understand Jesus as a divine being was pre-existent before becoming a human. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse 6. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. So when the Son of Man was sent by his Father into the world, a body, not an existence, had been prepared for him. Notice in the same book, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5, when he cometh into the world, he saith, notice, he is coming into the world. It wasn't that he didn't exist before coming into the world. It says, he cometh into the world. And he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. It doesn't say an existence thou hast prepared for me, but a body hast thou prepared for me, a human body. So Christ believed and taught that he was both from the Father and was sent by the Father. Notice what it says in John 7:29. I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Notice 8:42. Jesus saith unto him, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but God, he hath sent me. John 16:27-30 says, The Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." So just a few verses later in John 17, verse 8, it says this, "I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely two things, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." So according to the Bible, Jesus Christ was brought forth from the Father, and as the Son of God, was sent into the world to become the Son of Man. The first begotten was sent into the world. So John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So in other words, God had a Son to give. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not on the Son of God is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So ultimately, the Son of God became the Son of Man to save everyone that believes. There's a quote from a book that I'd love to read to you. It's taken from a book called The Great Controversy, one of the most amazing books on the planet. It says, "Another dangerous error is the doctrine that denies the deity of Christ, claiming that he had no existence before his advent to this world. This theory is received with favor by a large class who profess to believe the Bible, yet it directly contradicts the plainest statements of our Savior concerning his relationship with the Father, his divine character, and his pre-existence. It cannot be entertained without the most unwarranted wresting of the Scriptures. It not only lowers man's conception of the work of redemption, but undermines faith in the Bible as a revelation from God. While this renders it the more dangerous, it makes it also harder to meet. If men reject the testimony of the inspired Scriptures concerning the deity of Christ, it is in vain to argue the point with them, for no argument, however conclusive, could convince them. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned," according to 1 Corinthians 2:14. "None who hold this error can have a true conception of the character or the mission of Christ, or the great plan of God the Father for man's redemption. So I appeal to you, know and understand what the Bible says about Jesus Christ as the Son of God that was sent into this world to become the Son of Man. I'm grateful that God loved me so much that he was willing to send his Son. God loved you so much that he was willing to send his Son, that if we are willing to believe and surrender to him as our Lord, as our Savior, we will be saved. So meet me under the tree of life, so that we can worship the Father and the Son, giving glory to them for the plan that they both made in the councils of peace, way back before the earth was made."